Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind, you're very indulgent. I don't know if any of you know this, but there were a couple of Japanese traditional songs stuck in there. Sakura was one of them, that's right, that's right. And the other one was a song written for Koto and Shakuhachi called Spring Ocean, and that occurred at the end of the piece that had the sound of the ocean. And all those nature sounds come from the state of Washington. And let's see, I had a few notes here to talk with you about, because I said I was going to tell some stories, and that I will. As Margaret mentioned, in 1983, I did a walk for peace across the United States of America. And that all started in a very strange way. I had decided to go back to spirituality after having spent 7 years as a communist. And I thought I had developed my political side enough, and I needed to go back to developing my spiritual side, because I had this nagging thought that there is a thread that runs through everything and everyone, and communism just didn't get it, you know, as far as explaining that feeling. So on New Year's Day in 1982, I found myself in New South Wales, Australia, in the parlor of a gentleman who didn't call himself anything, but everybody else called him a spiritual teacher, and he didn't want to be called that particularly, but he was a spiritual teacher. And he told me on that day that I was on a spiritual path of service. And I asked him, well, what am I supposed to do to be of service? And he said to me, well, if you don't know, I can't tell you. And I burst into tears, because I thought he was telling me that I was stupid, because I certainly didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I ran out of the room, and people finally brought me back into the room, and he explained that he can't tell me what I'm supposed to be doing in service of the world, that I had to go inside and find that for myself. Very wise counsel. So I kept asking in my daily meditations, what am I to do to be of service in the world? No answer, nothing, right? For a year, nothing. Finally, I gave up meditating. And about 3 months later, in April 1983, I woke up one morning and saw myself walking from Seattle to the United Nations in New York and addressing a group of mainly men in suits and telling them that the people of the world want peace, and if that wasn't what they were there for, that they should please step down and let a common person take their place. 5 weeks later, I left with a backpack on my back, and I thought I had $15 in my pocket, but I had left it at home. So I had no money. I had my flute and changes of clothes and some dried food, which I didn't need because people fed me and overfed me. I gained weight and gained inches over this block. Anyway, so one of the wonderful, charming stories that I wanted to tell you tonight, and I'm going to tell you these stories. I don't know why I'm telling you these. I just know they were significant. You're going to have to find out why they're significant for you. So the first story is about a time when I was walking from Wenatchee to a little city called Orondo, Washington. I was walking from Orondo to a city called Farmer, which doesn't even have any buildings. It doesn't exist anymore, basically, but it's on the map. Anyway, on the way from Orondo to Farmer, there is a big coulee. And how many people know what a coulee is? A couple people. Okay. A coulee is sort of like a small version of the Grand Canyon. At least this coulee of which I'm speaking now was like a small version of the Grand Canyon. It had steep sides. Down one side, Route 2 went and went across the flat bottom of the coulee, and then up the other steep side of the hill, you could go up out of the coulee and continue on east towards New York. Well, on that particular day, I was feeling hot and tired and very silly for doing this peace walk, and I sat down by the side of the road and was resting, and this car came by, and it was this bright red sports car. In it was a woman with long, flowing blonde hair, and she was wearing sunglasses, and she looked like she was heading out for a day of sun and fun somewhere, you know? And I just looked at her and I thought, I am so stupid doing this tea class. I'm such a fool. I decided then and there I was going to stay sitting down and I was going to wait for the next bus, Greyhound bus, back to Seattle and call it quits. As I was waiting for the Greyhound bus, this bird comes running by me. And I thought, my God, it's a roadrunner, just like in the cartoon. I had never seen a roadrunner, and it wasn't a roadrunner. It was something called a plover. But it runs down the road, and it tries to get you away from its nest. And I guess I was sitting near its nest. So it was running down the road, and it stopped. And I decided I was going to get a good look at this roadrunner, you know. So I started walking up behind the roadrunner, very stealthily, very quietly. And I got from here to maybe over here from this roadrunner, and it flew up and ran, and it lighted maybe 500 yards and ran a little bit and then stopped. And I thought, I'm not going to let this bird get the better of me. I'm going to get a good look at this bird. So I started stealing upon the bird, slowly, stealthily. And as I got, maybe from here to there from the bird, it flew up, alighted 500 yards yonder and started running and then stopped. Not to be turned from my quest, I decided I would keep following this bird. And, you know, time and time again, the bird would do this. And the next thing I knew, I was up out of this coulee. I was feeling refreshed and ready to keep walking to New York. So, the bird from God. The bird from God. Next story is about a clinic visit. Well, actually, yeah, it was a visit to a clinic. Anybody here ever hear of something called Giardia? It's nasty. It's a nasty disease, and it's odoriferous, and it's uncomfortable, and you get feverish, and I thought I was dying of this disease, but I kept walking. I was in North Dakota at the time, and I didn't have any money, but somebody told me I could go to the clinic in town. So I walked by the clinic and looked in and decided I would, okay, go in and see if they would treat me, even though I didn't have any money. And it wasn't a free clinic. It wasn't a government clinic. It was a private clinic. So I walked in and I said to the receptionist, "Hi, my name is Dove. I'm on a peace walk from Seattle to New York City, to the United Nations. I don't have, I'm sick, but I don't have any money. Will you treat me?" And she said, "Well, hi, Dove. It's good to meet you. It's wonderful that you're on a peace walk. And I'm sorry that you're sick. And if you haven't got any money, we're not going to treat you." I thought, boy, this woman is cold-hearted. Let me talk to the top. Let me go to the top. So I talked to her supervisor, and the same thing happened. So I went out the door thinking very unchristian thoughts about this clinic. And I happened to have a little New Testament that actually a Lutheran minister had given me. I guess it was All Souls Lutheran in a little town called Elmira, Washington. Yeah. So I had my little New Testament. I decided to counteract these very unchristian thoughts. I would open the book and take a look and see what I would open to. So I was walking along reading my New Testament, and all of a sudden, powder blue Cadillac comes gliding up beside me, you know, just glides up real slow and dignified like. And I thought, what kind of pervert is this that's driving this car up next to me? And I kept walking, but the car kept crawling next to me, you know, this dignified crawl. So I decided, okay, I'll bite. So I stopped, and the automatic window came gliding down. And a very distinguished-looking gentleman leaned out the window of his car and he said, "Excuse me, sister, I see that you're reading your New Testament." And I said, "Why, yes, I am." And he said, "Well, I want to give you this in the name of Jesus Christ." And he held his fist out, I held my hand out, and he dropped what was in his fist, and it turned out to be a $50 bill. Which looked like a lot of money to me. In fact, it was enough money to get treated at the clinic. Did I do that? No. I went on to the free clinic in the next town and got treated and sent the money on back to Seattle. So, the Cadillac from God. Next, Danvers, Minnesota. Anybody know Danvers, the little town of Danvers, Minnesota? Tiny town, tiny, I'm telling you, tiny. And there's a gas station at one end of town. You can walk from one end of town to the other in probably 10 minutes. And I decided I would stop at this gas station mini mart and have a cool drink before I went on. Next thing I knew, I was sitting there drinking my cool drink. And next thing I knew, these big, burly gentlemen in overalls started gathering in this place. And I thought, whoa, this must be like the Ku Klux Klan or something. They were just gathering there and staring at me, you know, sort of like. You know, and so I didn't know what to expect from these people. I was frightened. I decided, okay, I'll finish my drink and walk out very slowly so as not to startle them with quick movements. As I was getting up and getting ready to make my fleet of foot but slow exit, another gentleman in overalls comes rushing into the mini mart waving a piece of paper, and he said, "Are you the gal that's walking across the country for peace?" And I said, yeah. And he said, "Well, we've been waiting for you because we want to declare this. I'm the mayor of Danvers, and I'm here to give you this declaration from the town of Danvers that we support you 100% in your walk across this country for peace. We want you to deliver this to the UN for us, and we're going to have a peace march right here in Danvers, and all of these gentlemen here have gathered to see you through Danvers and have a peace march in Danvers." It was singular. It was a singular experience. So finally, the thing I want to tell you about, I guess I'm running out of time, so I won't tell you anything about Russia, unfortunately. But the final thing I want to tell you is that in Cincinnati, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati, a concrete truck, you know, one of those things that turns concrete, came up beside me and stopped. And I stopped. By this time, I knew whenever anybody stopped beside me, something was going to happen that was unusual. And this concrete worker jumped out of his truck and came around to the side where I was, and he said, "You're the one that's walking for peace, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he said, "I've got a message for you to take to the United Nations." He said, "Tell them that we want peace, tranquility, happiness, health, and love all the way around the world." All right, the concrete driver from God. So, I guess there was one more thing I wanted to say, that even though I met some very remarkable and courageous people on my peace walk, it seems like I keep meeting remarkable and courageous people, and one of the places where I meet those people is here at Holden Village, and it extends from adults right down to children. And there's one child in particular that I wanted to cite tonight who seems to be totally open to life, just meets life head on. And as soon as I got off the bus, this child came up to me and said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name's Dove." And that child remembered my name from that moment to this, always remembers my name. And this child is full of love and full of light and seems to be quite a student of life and gets into all kinds of mischief, but is also just a wonderful being. And so I just wanted to acknowledge the beautiful beings that are here at Holden Village and to thank you for taking me into this society and for being here with me. I'm glad to meet each and every one of you and glad to have this time, share this time with you. Now, one of my beliefs is that the Messiah is coming and that we are all the Messiah. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do before we take a break, and then you can decide whether you want to hang around after the break or not and do this. But what I'd like to do is some meditation, because like that teacher, that wise teacher in Australia, I've come to believe that we can look inside and see what it is that we are to do to help save the planet. And I believe that each of us has the capacity to be of tremendous help in saving this planet, and especially human beings from our destructive impulses. Some people already know what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Some people haven't got the foggiest idea, but feel an inner urge to do something. So tonight, I'm going to do something with you that's kind of unusual at Holden, and that is to do something that isn't talk and that isn't music with words, that's just a space to be quiet together and to let Spirit talk to us from within. And I'll play some music on my flute, and we'll do some singing together, some toning together, clear our energy centers before we get into this other quiet space. So I invite anybody who has an urge to do this tonight to please take a break and then come back ready to meditate and contemplate. Thanks very much for your attention, and maybe I'll see you back here in 5 minutes. The first thing that we're going to do now after break is do a little chakra clearing. How many people have ever heard of chakras? You've heard of chakras? That's great. You've heard of chakras. Chakra is a Sanskrit word that means wheel, and chakras, for those who can see them, are kind of like wheels that turn. Their energy centers in the body. And those are more accessible to most people. Most people can, after a while, sense those energy centers in the body. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try and clear out those energy centers and open them up gently, and then go on with our meditation for tonight. So this requires singing on your part. Because we're going to open the chakras and clear them out musically. Each chakra is associated with notes. We're going to use something that is probably kind of arbitrary, but we're going to go up the notes of the scale, up the chakras. And this system happens to also correspond with the spectrum. And we're going to use color, we're going to visualize color, and we're going to sing notes. So the first chakra is located right about here, your tailbone, where you sit down, and it is associated with the concept of survival, with the color red, and with the note C. So I'll give you the note, and then I'll demonstrate how I'd like you to sing. If you don't sing right on pitch, you don't sing anywhere near the pitch, don't worry about it, because it probably means that your chakra is attuned to a different note. So don't feel constrained to the note that I give you. Okay, here we go. Just keep singing the note. And remember, if you need to breathe, go ahead and breathe. Don't faint. And I'll play a little music with the... Good. Note D, associated with the chakra that's in the pelvic area, and very aptly, it's associated with the concept of creativity, and the color is orange. E, third chakra, solar plexus, the sun center. And this is a center that's often thought of as the center of will. And I like working on this one because it's good for me to learn, practice giving over my will to divine will. Color is yellow. Again, the note is E. Everyone's favorite chakra, the heart. The color in this system is green, associated with peace, concept of peace. Throat chakra, color is blue. The concept is love, an expression of love. A, third eye, intuition, color is indigo. finally be crown chakra, the place where you get baptized, where the spirit comes into the body, and where we meet spirit with human energy. Oh, violet. Now, with the remaining time that we have for tonight's gathering, I'd like to do a little guided imagery. You can go along with this guided imagery if you want, or just sit and be while I describe these images. And then I'll play a little bit of just free-form music, and we'll do some free-form meditation. So, the first image is of a coral-colored pyramid-shaped shape, just above the crown of your head, just above the crown chakra that we were just working on. And just imagine that coral-colored pyramid hovering there above your head. And now think about that pyramid becoming large enough for you to sit under comfortably. As it's growing, you can picture a light, a white light, coming from as far out in the universe as you can possibly imagine, and coming down towards you, here in this room, coming through the top of the pyramid, piercing the top of the pyramid, piercing the top of your head, and filling your entire body with white light. And just allow your body to bathe in that light for a while. And take a few deep breaths. All right, now your body is filled with this light. It's aerated. I'd like you to picture yourself stepping outside of your body and looking at yourself, facing yourself. And see your heart emerge from your body as a golden disc the size of a dinner plate, and see that disc, that golden disc, begin to turn slowly clockwise as you're watching it from outside. Slowly clockwise.